Gujika Khalsawa, Gujiki Fateh. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm joined today by Mike Linkor, whose voice you will have heard on the podcast. Maybe you haven't heard us in conversation together, but you definitely have heard her. And our new president of the World Sick Organization, Danish Singh. Welcome to you both. We'll start with Mike Linkor. Mike Linkor, how are you doing?
Vaigrujika Khalsa, Vaigrujiki Fateh. I am doing good. I am happy to be on the podcast in a different way. I think this will be fun. And I'm enjoying the opportunity to get to chat with you, Jaspreet Kaur.
Awesome. And Danish Singh, Pradhan Saab, how are you doing in your we're gonna dive into your new position and what it means, but generally how has it been so far?
Vaigrujika Khalsa, Vaigrujiki Fateh. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on this esteemed podcast for the first time. Don't think I'll ever get used to the dance, but I guess we'll see.
I don't know if that was sarcasm, the esteemed podcast. This is like Karda.com. You had to.
No. Not everyone gets on this podcast, you know, it's very exclusive.
That's true. We have very high standards. All right. So another very eventful month for Sick Canadians and Sick Americans. So in this episode, we're going to do a year in review, where in December, we're going to talk about all of the incredible work that World Sick Organization has done this year. We are going to chat with Danish Singh about his new term as president and what that means. And then Mike Linkor and I are going to chat about what's been going on in the United States and share some reflections on all of the things we have learned since last month. So starting with this past year, in 2023, like every year, the World Sick Organization responded to so many different events happening across Canada. We responded to global events. We had, made media impacts and impressions in the millions, and were able to do advocacy work and legal work. We continued our challenge with Bill 21. We continued to work with politicians at all levels of government across the country. We supported international student rights, ran the Sick Family Helpline, worked on foreign interference. What for you, Mike Linkor, what is the thing that stands out most that WSO has done this past year that you're most proud of?
Well, thank you for that question. I think I love thinking about this, because I love thinking about all the things that WSO has accomplished in the past year, and whether I've been directly involved or not, it's always so fun to see what we're doing, or it's so incredible and inspiring. Even if it's just through Instagram or just chat seeing. So there's tons to be proud of, absolutely. But one that always resonates with me the most is 1 Billion Rising, which WSO has been doing for years now. But I've been fortunate to be involved with the Manitoba chapter for some time. And so regardless of just being part of Manitoba, we still get to have conversations and see news articles posted throughout all of Canada. And so it is a proud moment to see these incredible articles coming out of Sick's creating care packages for Valentine's Day for women's shelters, and just spreading that love, spreading that kindness. It's just it's a great note to start the year on, since it does happen in February. So it's one of it's like a kickoff for the year for myself when it comes to WSO events. And so for me, that has always been just an incredible event that we do. And for Manitoba, particularly this year, it was a milestone year. We made the most amount of care packages we've made since we've started, and our involvement is just growing and growing, which is awesome to see, especially given just, I guess, the state of the economy, how people have definitely become a little more resistant on monetary funds, but you still will find people doing the absolute most that they can, because they just see so much value in 1 Billion Rising. And I can say the same for myself. It's truly a proud and wonderful time for myself. That would be my, I guess, highlight of the year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One Billion Rising is so beautiful and so moving, and I really wish we didn't have to do take care of each other in this way. I wish that there wasn't this level of violence where we needed to support people who are in shelters. But given that those conditions do exist, it's such a powerful way to connect with people, such a very real way to connect with people. And I'm always so moved. And you're absolutely right. It's coming up. It's how we kick off the year. And so if you follow us on any of our social media channels at WorldSickOrg, we'll start posting and looking for help. And there's always a way that you can contribute with 1 Billion Rising. So you can make a donation with money to help us buy stuff to put in the care packages. If you don't have money, we've had folks, we've had families and children handwrite Valentine cards, which is a really low cost, beautiful, personal way to do things. If you have things that can be re-gifted, so brand new with tags or care products that are untouched or any of those things, I know folks have donated those, made donations in kind. And then your time. So if you, if nothing else, you can come and actually we'll like set up in a room and you help assemble the packages. We had some local support from Brampton City Hall last year. They provided space. You can provide space to help do the work. So any of those things, time, money, space, energy, products, all of it goes such a long way, and it really shows our Sakhi in action. And it's one of the very big things that we do with our hands. Sometimes the work WSO does is not tangible, like the legal challenge to Bill 21. It's not something that you see immediate results, and it's not something where you could actually see the results. But 1 Billion Rising is a, that seva that we do is very different, and you can very much see it.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, like with 1 Billion Rising, it also crosses, like a lot of the work we do can sometimes be very specific to the Sikh community. But with 1 Billion Rising, we're reaching across different communities, different backgrounds, different religions. And that also leads to different partnerships. Like in Vancouver, we've had partnerships with the Church of Latter-day Saints, for example. And creating those partnerships and that just that grassroots involvement in the community also goes a long way.
Yeah, so, well, and just to add to that, and Manitoba, we've also partnered with some schools. We've had some teachers who are like very involved, and they've had their students that have made Valentine's Day cards and little, just little things to throw in the gift baskets, which is just such a beautiful touch. And it's a great way to get the kids involved too. So I think regardless of age or who you are, you can be involved one way or another.
I completely agree. And it's such a, I found, especially with some of the younger kids that are involved, it's a really important conversation and a really strong entry into the conversation. So a safe entry into a conversation that is very unsafe. So it's a way of talking about the very real violence that people experience, but in a way where you can actually help and you can do seva with your hands and have that conversation and acknowledge that it exists. So very, very cool. Yeah. So Dhanesh Singh, what's your standout moment for WSO in the past year?
I think for me, it's really been the work on the foreign interference file. I know most recently what comes to mind is the revelations related to Shahid Bahadeep Singh Nijjar's assassination. But even earlier in the year, if we think to the RRS report that we released about a network of this paramilitary, you know, fascist organization from India that exists in Canada, that we released together with the National Canadian Council of Muslims. And around the same time when, for those of you who remember, the Bhai Amritpal Singh arrest and all of that was happening in India as well. And so a lot of the media coverage and a lot of the interviews is where WSO was active at the time. And that really laid the groundwork for when in September, we saw the Prime Minister make that announcement, as everyone knows now, saying that there were credible allegations that the Indian government was involved in that assassination. And we've seen a spike in our media outreach that like we've never seen before. And I've even had people now coming up to me at work and, you know, being empathetic. And whereas anything related to Palestine or foreign interference would kind of be an uncomfortable topic before that. So a lot of the work that WSO has done in the media and in the on the grassroots has really impacted, I think, public opinion in Canada and the government's response.
Absolutely. I think there's so much work that went into, I would say decades of work that went into and continues to go into fighting foreign interference. And it was such a moment of validation to have someone in a position of authority say that it's real, and then to repeatedly be seen as the subject matter experts because we've been doing this work for decades, and because we've been publishing reports and talking about it and bringing it up on Lobby Day when we meet with members of parliament in Ottawa, all of those things. Alongside that, I mean, the list goes on and on. We've been working on getting the Tati or Tseng Tata method approved for healthcare workers. We've continued to support healthcare workers on the front lines with workplace accommodations around beards. We have continued to support security guards with the City of Toronto who were being removed from work because of their beards. We have worked, we created a lot of conversation around Amritpal Singh and the crackdown in Punjab. We did the They Live Here campaign, the Sikh Youth Leadership Institute, a cross-country event with Jaggi Johal's brother. And there's two things that I'm going to talk about as my, what I think stands out to me in this year. After a lot of work by a lot of people on the team, WSO created WSO Charity, which has charitable status. So please check out our new platforms for WSO Charity. And if you donate to WSO Charity, and all of our charitable work is housed under WSO Charity now, you can get a receipt for your donation. You can become a monthly donor. You can, so check out all the stuff that's happening under the WSO Charity banner, and please consider following us on those social media channels. We did a park cleanup this year under the WSO Charity banner. You know, just got worked with the City of Brampton and went into one of the wards and got, it was a very, very hot day, and got garbage bags and gloves, and literally just cleaned up. Like, these are events that are reproducible in any region. If it's something you're interested in, please reach out. So that was a huge win for this past year. And the other one I think that was really great is the stock images. So there are, and again, you can just Google World Psych Organization stock images, but we have created a series of stock images of Sikhs in their families, in their professions, Sikh truck drivers, Sikh scientists. There's just really great images, and it has shifted the way representation works. They've been downloaded so many times. They've been used so many times. I've seen them on posters of other, like, unrelated, not WSO posters, just community posters, and you'll suddenly see a BB or a saying on the poster, and you're just swelling with pride. And I use them as much as I can to normalize someone with a chunni, someone with a dastar, a Sikh professional, just on a random slide that has nothing to do with anything. So if you are at work or you're creating a presentation for anything, check out our stock images. They are free to use. They're in the public domain, and they're high quality. They are awesome. They will make your presentation pop, and representation matters. So it's pretty great. All right. So we're going to talk to Thunder Singh for a little bit, who is our new president. And World Psych Organization had our AGM, and we brought in a new national board. And our previous president, the Jinder Singh, completed his term. We had a chance to acknowledge all of the work that he did. His leadership was so strong. We flourished as an organization under him. So many things around sustainable Dasvand program and creating a really healthy team just happened under his leadership. And we're very grateful. And that baton has now been passed to Danish Singh. So we wanted our listeners to get to know you a little bit. And I guess the first thing is, what's your journey with WSO? What made you want to volunteer with WSO? And how did that come to this moment where you're president?
Thanks for that. So WSO has really always been a presence in the community, obviously. There'd be annual dinners, all the legal work WSO has done, like everyone kind of knew about WSO, but it kind of became more accessible to me first as I was involved in SSA. We attended a couple of the dinners, and some of my friends started to get involved. But what really changed things for me was SILLIS, the Sikh Youth Leadership Institute. I attended that in 2019, and that's when I really got to know the team, got really intimate knowledge of the work that the WSO does. And that fall was actually when the board was changing. So that was when I came on as director of finance that year. That's how I'd been involved for the last 4 years. Until this last AGM. So, I've had the pleasure of keeping up to date on the finances, which, as we know in the Sikh community, can be a touchy topic sometimes, but I'm proud to say that WSO, we've always been transparent with the board, with the community, about where our finances are going, where they're coming from. I'm excited to take that forward into the next few years.
All right. So what is there something that you see that you want to work on in your time as president? Do you want to see the organization grow in terms of people or finances? Or is there one of the many things that we worked on this year? Is there something that you want to work on again next year? What's something that you're excited about for WSO?
Well, a couple of things that immediate things that we have coming up in the pipeline that I'm excited about personally is one, we have the Bill 21 decision, which should be coming up any time now, we expect. And regardless of the outcomes, one of the sides will appeal and it will end up in the Supreme Court. So that's one thing we're preparing for. We're also preparing for some more developments in the foreign interference file, as we all know. So that's in the immediate. In the long term, if we jump to the very long term, the work that WSO does, we get a lot of accommodation cases across the country, which are actually increasing now, especially with international students, who the way we see it is a lot of institutions or a lot of people in power will see their vulnerability and try to take advantage of them. And more of them are coming forward with, I'm not allowed to wear my kirpan, or they're telling me to, shave my beard, things like that. So long term, if we want to help those people, if we want to help those cases, I always like to imagine, I know we have regional teams in all the major cities across the country, but having going so far as having offices, having staff in every major city, building, growing the organization to that extent, and another thing is our whole board is a volunteer board right now, right? I used to get the question as director of finance, like, oh, so is this your full-time job now? Like, what do you do? But we all know this. We're all putting our personal time and effort and our discipline into this work, right? Until recently, we only had one employee, and recently we were able to grow to 3 employees because of the work that the last board and Tejinder Singh did with the discipline program. But that's really where we want to grow, is with more staff and to be able to build capacity that way. I think in the shorter term, the next hire we'll be looking at is something around lobbying or government relations. We just did a lobby day with the AGM that we had recently in Ottawa at the end of October, where we met with different you know, party leaders, elected officials. And one of the interesting feedback we got was that, you know, we got glimpses into, they would talk about other advocacy organizations and the level of capacity they have and the level of work that they're putting in. And we're kind of behind on this front, if we look at it that way. So building capacity on that front, which will just become more important as time goes on, especially with this foreign interference work.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an important thing. And if folks are listening, we do, when we are recruiting for new paid positions, we do post those across all of our social media platforms. But you can definitely follow us on LinkedIn. I know that we post those things there, and we have had some really fantastic people work on our team in paid positions. So if you're listening and that's something that you'd be interested in, follow us and keep an eye out for those, and please apply. Thank you so much, Thunderstink, for joining us for the first little bit. And I know it's a really exclusive podcast, but you're welcome back anytime. And happy to have you on and chat. And hopefully, you'll be a regular person we interview, and we'll get to go on this journey with you as you do your term as president.
It would be my honor. Thank you.
Okay, so Meglin, the last thing we're going to chat about is, it's certainly not a small thing, what's been going on in the United States. So what we found out recently, I think since this happened after the release of our last podcast, the United States came forward and said that there were assassination attempts by agents of India for a U.S. national, for a U.S. citizen, and that they had it was a failed attempt at assassination, and there was actually like money that was exchanged to make sure this person was killed, and that there was all of the stuff that came out. In when we found out about that, we also found out that there were multiple people that they were attempting to assassinate in Canada, and all of this is on the tale of the Prime Minister of Canada previously having said that India has tried to assassinate people in Canada. So just general, let's start with general. When you hear something like that, that, India is trying to assassinate people in Canada, and then when you hear that India tried to assassinate someone in the United States, do you have the same reaction to it happening in both countries? And did you see the same reaction in both of those countries?
So to provide a little context on where I've kind of been the past little bit is, so once I got involved with WSO, which was about my second year now, is when I kind of really started to learn more about the relationships between India, America, Canada, because prior to that, it was all very, very new to me. And so it's been a learning journey. And so when everything came out now, as I was learning, I my jaw kind of was dropped, and maybe for some individuals the reactions were not as surprising, but for someone who has been only learning a ton of information in the past couple years, as a person, I would assume that the responses for personally, they're the same. Of course, there's frustration, there's anger, there's disappointment, but there's also a lack of shock that there were these multiple attempts and these that India and Canada, or I'm sorry, that America and Canada had found out about. So for myself, I was not more disappointed or upset between one country or the other, because of just the Sikh community being one community. And regardless, you don't want to hear about anyone being assassinated, regardless of the country they're from. Although, yeah, as we've learned more, the response from India towards, you know, the countries, and whether when Canada was kind of showing frustration and you know, disappointment, and so was America. To know India's response to both countries was very different, polar opposite, almost, was extremely, I want to say shocking, but part of me is also like, deep down, I'm like, am I surprised? So that's kind of where I'm at.
And India was very shocked that Canada was, you know, proposing all of this. And they were saying that we were accusing them of things and we had already come to a conclusion. And it was a very defensive position that was taken against Justin Trudeau. This kind of coincided with Justin Trudeau's trip to India. And there was these wild fake news articles that came out of India saying Justin Trudeau's plane had been delayed leaving India because of cocaine on the plane, and just all of this misinformation and disinformation. Yeah, it was a really interesting moment. And compared to, so it's very defensive when Canada says it, and when the US says it, it was like, yep, we're going to cooperate with an investigation. Like, we're taking this very seriously. We're going to look into it. Just very, very different reactions. I think India has more to lose. The U.S. is a giant compared to Canada. The U.S. needs India to counter the influence of China and is also trying to not mess up that relationship. And that's really interesting in both the case of U.S. and Canada, is that so much is at stake in trade that it takes a lot for a leader in either country to stand up against India and say, like, this is happening. I think if citizens had found out before the leaders had spoken, so if the story had leaked before Justin Trudeau had said something, it would have been really bad. Like, it would have seemed that either leader was soft on foreign interference, and for India to come on Canadian soil and to assassinate someone, like, that's really, really bad. And so it's almost like they had no choice but to take these hard stances. But in the work that we've done on foreign interference, it's been very hard, near impossible, to get someone at such a high, in such a high position of power to actually come out and say that this did happen. So it's this very, it's significant, but it's only one thing. And so there's a lot of work that continues, that we still need to do. In the meantime, like, the other thing that, like, India did a lot of, in Canada, they stopped issuing e-visas. They said that their people in the consulate here weren't safe. They took away diplomatic immunity for people, Canadians who were in India, and that alongside the misinformation and disinformation. They have started to resume some of those services here. It seems to be kind of dying down. And I think that they do, in some sense, rely on people forgetting what happened. And honestly, you can wait things out to a certain extent and people will move on. The news cycle moves so fast. There's always the next scandal and there's always the next thing. And there's like an amnesia in politics that allows you to just kind of ride out a scandal if you wait long enough. But I hope this does stay in the news cycle. We will definitely keep pushing and keep advocating every chance we have. I think this is like the third or fourth time I'm saying this, but please make sure you just follow us on all of our social media channels. Any news that we have, any news that we put out or statements that we put out, you'll be able to see there as well. And if you want to support any of the work we're doing on the charity side, check out the work we're doing on the charitable side, and please consider making a donation over there as well. Eileen, any final thoughts or any hopes or wishes as we go into the new year with WSO? Maybe the same question I put out to Dhanush, saying anything that you want to see more of, or any asks you have of the people who are listening?
I think, well, one of my biggest asks, and I guess this might cycle back through a lot of what you said with the WSO's charity as well, but if you can join this fund program, it truly is such a good way to be giving her this fund, but you don't even have to remember because it is a monthly cycle that you can just sign up for. And, you know, it just happens. Every month the payment comes out and it's helping and contributing so much more than I think words can honestly see. Say. So definitely if folks would check out our website, Instagram, Twitter, you really can see where your This Fund is going to and all the work that's being done with it. So I think my biggest ask of the people would be to join that This Fund program, check out our social media, see what we're doing and see what the value of the past year and hopefully next year can be just as valuable, if not more. But truly, I'm very proud of this organization.
Absolutely. We are volunteer-driven, community-funded, and everything that WSO does, we punch above our weight. Everything you see us do, we do with what we have at the end of the day when we're done our 9-to-5, when we're done taking care of our families, with the money we have left and the time we have left. So all of our success is due to the community and the people that believe in the work we're doing. Just really, really great stuff. Thank you so much for listening in this week. And thank you, McLean, for joining in. And we will see you all and listen to you all and talk to you all in the new year. And until we meet again, I hope you stay safe and have an amazing holiday season and a happy new year. Waigurjika kalsa. Waigurjika kalsa.